And here we go, episode 101, Three Guys Before the Game. You didn't think we'd leave you hanging after a big Mountaineer win, did you? We're here. Caridi's not. We're here. Nathan, big win.
Big win.
Big win. Actually, Tony is here. You just can't see him. He is still in Kansas City. TC, welcome in.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
All right. I was just saying, people didn't think we'd leave him hanging on our regularly scheduled Thursday slot after a giant win last night. And I'll start here. Who would have thought? We've followed the Mountaineer program for a long time collectively. People listening followed for hundreds of thousands of years combined. Who would have thought West Virginia would be the beneficiary of two replay reviews in the same building, in the same tournament, against the same team? They both fall West Virginia's way. Can you imagine that?
Milliseconds are very, very little millimeters, honestly. I can't believe both of them happened to go our favor. It seems like we always end up with the ones with
right.
the bad luck.
That's what I'm saying. Can
these
you believe
two
it?
Cases, we came out on top of them.
Tony, clear view of the one last night, too. How about that break that the camera angles they had, defender moves just to the side. You can clear. Got it right. Clearly was on the line.
Yeah. I think what it shows once and for all is that West Virginia always gets all the calls. Don't you guys think? I mean, we get all the calls.
I don't know why there's ever complaining about the officiating. They're right on it with this replay stuff.
You know, for as much as we complain about replay, or me, I personally complain that they take too long at the table. Last night, it obviously was invaluable, and they didn't take long. Right? Joe DeRosa, who's a veteran NBA official, he worked in the league for many, many years, a lot of playoff series, a whole deal. He went in there, to him, just another day at the office. Looks down, boom, boom, that's two, not three, see you later, we're out.
Yep.
So it was a great use of replay.
By the way, today's episode brought to you by Wheeling Island Casino. We'll have an announcement about where we'll be this Sunday in regards to the Wheeling Island Casino coming up here in just a bit. All right, let's take a look at some individual performances again, because I continue to be amazed, guys. I may be prisoner of the moment here, but I can't remember a West Virginia player that has made the leap from where he was to how valuable he is now as Jordan McCabe has done. I find myself watching him, guys, when he has the basketball, I'm like, all right, let's roll. Let's go, Jordan. You feel totally comfortable with a guy that just a few weeks ago you were questioning whether he would be a part of this program moving forward.
Honestly, within the same year, I can't think of too many people in general, let alone at West Virginia. And I think the biggest deal for him has just been his confidence. He's out there playing, and he knows that he has to get the job done or else we're not going to win. He knows that there's no way behind him to do what he can do. So I think he's playing loose, and I think he's benefited from it. I mean, he's shooting the ball well. He had a rough first half, but it didn't stop him from having a great second half last week. And that says a lot about a freshman to have the mental fortitude to be able to have that bad of a half and then come out and still play well in the second half.
That's a great point.
Yeah, it is. I talked to Hugs about that after the game, and he was 0 for 6 from the floor in that first half. And I said, boy, how about his guts to come out there? He said, well, you should have been in the locker room at halftime. So they tweaked what he was doing in the first half. Apparently, if you go back and you watch it, he was really jumping backward when he was shooting the ball in the first half. And they said, hey, look, you got to go straight up. Your head needs to be over your toes by the time you start to launch for your shot. If you go straight up, they feel comfortable that he can make a ton of shots. He's got a really good stroke. But when he starts to push back off, and I think he probably does that, guys, a little bit because of his size, oftentimes he probably has to go backward so that he doesn't get it blocked. I think that they kind of corrected that. He went out there, made his first four. He made four threes in the second half. I know at one point he had three in a row. So that was a huge, huge turnaround in that game. And, you know, I think this is going to be a difficult review of this game if we focus on any player, because I truly think that you go down and look at this box score of the nine guys that played, you can say to every single one of those guys and remember key plays in that game that they made, and if they didn't, we're probably not talking about a win right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Although that said, I mean, go look at some of these individual performances. I mean, they were – Haley, again, was fantastic. You get 14, 12, and 4 out of a guy that's playing out of your backcourt, that's incredible. He's another guy. I mean, McCabe, I still have his number one improvement within the season. Haley's not far behind. The difference is you'd seen Haley play at the Division I level and McCabe you hadn't. But you're right, Tony. Everybody contributed, yet there were some individual performances in there that were fantastic again.
Absolutely, and this is a Jermaine that we thought we'd get all year coming into the season. We knew he was a big guard that knew how to use his body and he could get into people. and he could make these layups that he's been making recently. His three-point shot still isn't there. It's extremely inconsistent. He saw him make three the last game and then none yesterday, so you can't really count on that. But all we really need from him is for him to be aggressive, trying to get the ball to the basket, collapsing defenses, and kicking out the open shooters.
Yeah, in the last two games against Oklahoma, Haley, all he's done, giving you 18.5 points a game, 9 rebounds a game, and 4.5 assists per game. That'll work.
That'll work.
Now, Tony, to your point on the team effort, the story was Derek Culver limited because of foul trouble both in the first half and the second half, therefore leading to being limited all game, yet West Virginia still gets a win without him, and that five position really produced about what it has given his great performances. It just took more guys doing it last night.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So they got 18 and 16 out of that center position last night, and that's huge. And again, Logan Rout, a kid that was a starter on this team early in the season, then went to hardly playing at all. He comes up with Culver went out with 11:23 to go in the first half with the two fouls. And he just pops out there for his night. He gets 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 of those offensive. He was 3 of 3 from the field in 16 minutes. And then Andrew Gordon, who's been obviously up and down, he gets you 4 points and 4 rebounds in his 11 minutes. And most importantly, guys, he got his 4th assist of the season to go along with his 35 turnovers. But he got his 4th assist of the season, so it was a good night all around.
How about if you go back and pull out one stat from these matchups with Oklahoma, how about the offensive glass advantage for West Virginia? It was there again last night, Nate, plus 11 last night. I mean, it's something outrageous. It's like 54-19 in the 3 games, something outrageous like that. Amazing job on the boards offensively against this Oklahoma team.
Yeah, well, they're playing 2-4 guys, essentially, and they're rotating them at the center position between Manek and Doolittle. Neither of them were centers. When Doolittle came in as a freshman, he was predominantly playing on the outside, and now he's asked to be a center because of McNeese's injury. I think that's a big deal for them. He has been right all year, as they were talking about last night on the game. And I think that's really affected their rebounding ability, and that's something Western has done well all year. Is offensive rebound is probably the one only thing we've done consistently well.
And Tony, back to your point, we've seen the first two matchups against Oklahoma. There's been one individual that's been dominant. Issa Maad did it in the first matchup. Emmett Matthews had 7 offensive rebounds in one of the games as well. But last night, Derek Culver had the most at 4. Haley and Gordon each had 3. But there were 6 players last night with at least 2 offensive rebounds for West Virginia.
Yeah, it is. And Nathan, and you guys know this, if there's one thing that has been the constant since Huggs took over and really throughout his coaching career, it's you got to be on the offensive glass. Oftentimes, the West Virginia's second and third shot is better than its first shot. But in order to get second and third, you got to get the first one and you got to get the rebound. So they do pride themselves. West Virginia has nationally been in the top category all season in offensive rebounds. And so you're right. Oftentimes, last night, guys, another stat that I was pounding before the game was that Oklahoma had not lost a game this season in which it shot a higher percentage from the field, 19-0 when they shot a higher percentage. Every loss they had, they shot a lower percentage. Last night, the first time all season that they shoot 45 to West Virginia's 38, so they get outshot, West Virginia does, and still win the game. So, again, that's because you got offensive rebounds at 16, and you ended the game taking 9 more shots than them.
Yeah, you're exactly right. All right, big picture for this team. This is what the team was lacking. Nate, we had talked about this. They'd found a way to win at home, be really competitive, pound Iowa State at home, but you hadn't been able to win away from Morgantown. Check that box. Now this team has won, not a road game, but away from Morgantown.
Absolutely. They're going into a game against Texas Tech, who has been playing not their best basketball, and Texas Tech always seems to have 1 or 2 games throughout the year where they shoot really, really poorly. So I'm hoping we catch them on one of those nights and we stay playing as hard as we do. I think we got a chance. They haven't played this team yet, which is an advantage to us. They played the old team the first 2 times, and I think, as anyone can tell, there's a big difference between the intensity from that team and this team. So that may come out and be a shock to them.
And you talk about no pressure tonight for West Virginia. You're
not
playing with
you're
playing
you're not
house money.
You're expected to win, so who cares what you do?
Exactly. All right, Tony, speaking of tonight's game, the story around this is the multiple reports coming out last night that Sags Kanate has been medically cleared. You may see him tonight. Real possibility you see him tonight? Is this one of those smoke screens to give Texas Tech something else to think about? I know you don't know a definitive answer, and quite frankly, this story has no definitive answer, so we have to see what happens. But gut feeling, smokescreen, or legitimately could see sags tonight in the game?
I think a little bit of everything that you said. Do I see him out there playing tonight? No. Do I think that it's caused Texas Tech to spend some time today in tape, going back to last year's tape? Oh, hell, we got to pull out the Canate tape from last year. Take a look at the Canate tape. This is what he did against us. They probably have done that. So if anything, it's just jacking him. I think he may wear a uniform tonight. He may warm up tonight. I would be surprised if he's out there playing. As I said last night, he had a three-headed center, and those guys got 18 and 16. And this team is in a rhythm. This team is playing together. That's the most important part about why this team has now won three of its last five games, is because they're together. And I think putting, you know, someone else in, now don't get me wrong, that kid's one of the, you know, he's one of the best players in the country when he's right. But now I don't think necessarily that would make a whole lot of sense.
I will be stunned, transitioning subjects here, I'm stunned, guys, if Oklahoma's an NCAA tournament team. That looks no more like an NCAA tournament team than South Middle School.
I can't imagine. Ooh. They're 7-11 in their league, which I don't think is a great league. I think we talked about before the show, it's a very competitive league, but I don't think it's filled with great teams, so being 7-11 really isn't impressive in that league, not to mention you have two losses to a West Virginia team who is in the bottom third of the country, so those are two very bad losses. I should keep them out, if you ask me, but we'll see.
Tony, I mean, Texas is still in the mix. As a 16-15 entering Thursday's game, they're still in the mix. TCU with a close call last night, they still seem to be in the mix of the tournament. I'm just not sure any of those teams are tournament teams.
You make a really good point, and it comes down to this conversation, this discussion that takes place every time this year. If you're the selection committee, you know, if you lose a lot in these Power 5 leagues, are you better than a team in a mid-major that has won a lot of games? I mean, that's the thing, right? And I saw Joe Lenardi had some stats out about, you know, historically he strongly feels that the committee does not do the proper service to this if they don't consider these mid-majors. He says, you know, teams at that Power 5 level that are constantly losing, they're just not at that level. So it's the debate. And I do think that statistically we probably need to go back and do a really deep dive review on which teams do well, which teams do not do well in the selection committee process and then in the tournament to determine if they are overvaluing these Power 5s that have significant losing records in their conference play. I mean, we're not talking like one game under 500 or a 500 league team. You know, we're talking about teams that are, you know, in the case of Oklahoma, you know, they were 7-11 in the league. That's four under. So I think that needs to be, you know, further discussed.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, as I mentioned earlier, today's episode brought to you by Wheeling Island Casino. Tony, we will be up there for Selection Sunday coming up this Sunday.
That's correct. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. So we're going to be up there at Wheeling Island Casino at the sports bar and during the selection show. So 6 o'clock hour, obviously, the tournament field is announced, and by 7 o'clock, everything is done. And then we will break down the initial breakdown of who's playing whom, and we'll also be joined by a couple of folks, including we've got Todd Furman, right? You've locked down Todd Furman.
Todd is scheduled to appear.
Yep, who's seen nationally each day on his show on Fox Sports, and a few other folks. And we will handicap the early handicap of these tournament games, and we'll see what the committee comes up with, and we'll see what intrigue. There's always intrigue in these matchups. And we'll see how it all goes down. So we're there Sunday night, sports line 6 until 8.
All right, we're going to get in and out of here so we can get this posted. We'll be back again with an episode on Monday, wrapping up what happens against Texas Tech and beyond. Any last-minute thoughts as the music begins to roll here?
I just came out of film, and I think that this Mountaineer team at this point is really too young to put things into perspective and understand what's going on. They're totally loose. I mean, they are locked in. They are focused. They're watching it. They're totally into this thing. So I think they're going to go out there and have fun tonight. I think they'll play hard. I don't think they're in any fear whatsoever of Texas Tech. They're ready to ball, so we'll see what happens.
All right, that can do it. Nate, we'll talk to you Monday.
Absolutely.
All right, there it is. Episode 101 in the books, sooner, later. We'll talk to you Monday. That's it. Three guys before the game.